ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ. ಸದಾಶಿವಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಸದ್ಗುರು ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ಜಿಜ್ಞಾಸಾಧಿಕರಣ ಅಥಾತೋ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಜಿಜ್ಞಾಸಾ ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಧಿಕರಣ ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಯತಃ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಯೋನಿತ್ವಾಧಿಕರಣ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಯೋನಿತ್ವಾತ್ ಸಮನ್ವಯಾಧಿಕರಣ ತತ್ತು ಸಮನ್ವಯಾತ್. ಪಾದ 3 chapter 1. ದ್ಯುವ್ವಾದ್ಯಧಿಕರಣ ದ್ಯುವ್ವಾತ್ಯಾಯತನಂ ಸ್ವಂ ಶಬ್ದಾತ್ ಮುಕ್ತೋಪಸ್ತೃಪ್ಯ ವ್ಯಪದೇಶಾತ್ ನ ಅನುಮಾನಂ ಅತ ಶಬ್ದಾತ್ ಪ್ರಾಣಭೃಚ್ಛ ಭೇದವ್ಯಪದೇಶಾತ್ ಪ್ರಕರಣಾತ್ ಸ್ಥಿತ್ಯಧನಾಭ್ಯಾಂಚ ಭೂಮಾಧಿಕರಣ ಭೂಮಾಂ ಸಂಪ್ರಸಾದಾತ್ ಅದ್ಯುಪದೇಶಾತ್. 71st ಸೂತ್ರ ಅಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಸೂತ್ರ ಅಂಡ್ 8th ಸೂತ್ರ ಆಫ್ ದಿ 3rd ಪಾದ ಆಫ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 1. ವೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ದಿ ಜನರಲ್ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ಗ್ರೌಂಡ್ ಇನ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಅಧಿಕರಣ ಇನ್ ದ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್. ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಭೂಮಾಧಿಕರಣ. And now we will do the general analysis of the first sutra of this adhikarana. And here Vyasacharya analyzes a Chandogya mantra, 7th chapter, 24th section, 1st mantra. And this mantra is known as Bhuma Lakshana mantra, as we said in the last class. And what is that mantra? Yatra nanyat pashyatim, nanyat shrunotim, ನಾನ್ಯತ್ ವಿಜಾನಾತಿ ಸ ಭೂಮ ಅತ ಯತ್ರ ಅನ್ಯತ್ ಪಶ್ಯತಿ ಅನ್ಯ ಶೃಣೋತಿ ಅನ್ಯತ್ ವಿಜಾನಾತಿ ತತ್ ಅಲ್ಪಂ ಯೋ ವೈ ಭೂಮ ತದ್ ಅಮೃತಂ ಅತ ಯದಲ್ಪಂ ತನ್ ಮರ್ತ್ಯಂ ಸ ಭಗವಃ ಕಸ್ಮಿನ್ ಪ್ರತಿಷ್ಠಿತ ಇತಿ ಸ್ವೇ ಮಹಿಮ್ನಿ ಯದಿ ವಾ ನ ಮಹಿಮ್ನೀತಿ. ಅಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಭೂಮ ಆರ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಲಕ್ಷಣ ಮಂತ್ರ. And Brahman is that which no seer sees anything with a seeing instrument, as we said yesterday. No hearer hears anything with a hearing instrument. And Brahman is that in which the subject, object, instrument, Triputi is absent. And we can define Brahman as Nirvikalpa. Since it is Advitiyam, without a second, it is Anandam also, and the final meaning is it is infinite. Then the Upanishad says, wherever there is Triputi, duality, that is Alpam, Savikalpam, Sadvayam, that Vastu is Alpam, which means finite. Then the mantra says, Bhuma is infinite, that which is finite is subject to end, also Yad Bhuma Tat Sukham. Bhuma is Sukha Swarupam and Alpam is Dukkha Swarupam. Bhuma is the supporter of anything and itself is unsupported, supporter of all. It is unsupported, supporter of all. Here the word Brahman is replaced by the word Bhuma. And we also saw that the 7th chapter of Chandogya begins with the discussion of student Narada with the teacher Sanat Kumara. And Narada tells Sanat Kumara, in spite of my learning all the vidyas, I seem to be an educated person, but I only am still a miserable person. All knowledge has not brought any change in me at all. Previously, I was an ignorantly miserable person. Now I am a knowledgeably miserable person. I have heard Shokam Tarati Atmavithu. I have learned it also. I have heard Atmavithu is Brahmavithu, the knower of Brahman, he crosses over sorrow. I have heard all that. So please teach me the biggest thing in creation. And the teacher does not want to show the biggest one because the human mind cannot conceive it. It is so small. So he introduces a series of things. Each one is bigger than the previous one. And the first item that Sanat Kumara tells Narada is Nama, the name. And the last one is Asha. So this comes in the seventh chapter of Chandogya, sections 1 to 14. And I'm not reading all those mantras now. I'm only going giving the gist now. Nama is big, and then Vag is bigger, and still bigger and bigger, etc. Sanat Kumara goes on enumerating to Narada. And in this series, Asha is the biggest one as Bhuma. Nama is Bhuma, then Vak is Bhuma, Manas is Bhuma, Asha is the biggest one in that series. And in the 15th section, the teacher says, life principle is bigger than all the 14 items listed earlier. And prana is introduced as the 15th item, that is infinite, and that is sarvam, that is vishwadharam, and prana sustains everything. He tells all that. Then the Upanishad also says, whoever knows prana knows the biggest thing in creation. That is the 15th section of the same chapter, 7th chapter. Prano hye vaitani sarvani bhavati. Sava yesha evam pashyanevam manmanaha evam vijanane ativadi bhavati. He got a title also, a person who knows prana. Pranavadi is ativadi. One who knows and speaks about prana, he knows the biggest thing in creation. He is ativadi. The title he gets. So the Upanishad tells with prana tattvam elaborately in the 15th section. And then 16th section, so Sanat Kumara says, pranavadi is not ativadi at all. And he is apekshika ativadi, ativadi only. And one who knows and talks about Brahman alone is ativadi. He tells that in the 16th section. Yeshatuvam ativadati yaha satyena ativadati soham bhagavaham satyena adivadaniti satyam tveveva vijignasitavyamiti satyam bhagavo vijignasa iti. That is the mantra, 16th section mantra of 7th chapter. So the mischief is what? First, the Upanishad says prana is the biggest thing and dwells on the topic elaborately also, and then says Brahman is the biggest. And what is the confusion? Prana is dealt with elaborately, and the Upanishad says Brahman is the biggest, which is also said very casually also in just only a small section. So from 70th to the 23rd section, various sadhanas are discussed. There is one sentence about Brahmavadi, while prana is talked about very elaborately. Actually, in the 7th chapter, 24th section, first mantra of Chandogya, we get the definition of the biggest of the biggest thing. Yatra nanyat pashyati, nanyat shrunoti, nanyat vijanati sabhuma. I just read that mantra. Ata yatra anyat pashyati, anyat shrunoti, anyat vijanati, tad alpam. Yovai bhuma, tad amritam. Ata yad alpam, tad maryam, tad martyam, sa bhagavaha, so kaspin pradishtita iti, sve mahimni, yadivala mahimni iti. This mantra we just read. So this is called by the name bhuma. It is a common noun, the biggest. The biggest is said to be triputi rahitam. All triputi rahita means we should understand subject, object, instrument is not there. That way, difference is not there. So the Upanishad does not clearly say that it is biggest. Whether it refers to prana or Brahma in the 16th section, the Upanishad does not say. That is where the controversy comes. That is why it finds a place in Brahma Sutra. And now what is our question? Which is the biggest? Prana or Brahma? In the absence of any clear-cut definition, had the Upanishad used the word Brahma, then there would have been no problem. But it has not done that. It, hence alone, the Sutra has found a place, as I told you. So here, what is the contention of the Siddhanti, Vedantin, what he says? He says, Bhuma is not Prana, but Bhuma means Brahman, the Paramatma only. And the essence of the first Sutra is Paramatma. And Vyasacharya says, you study the order of the series as given in Chandogya. 7th chapter, section 1 to the last section. The series started with Nama, as I told you. First section talks about Nama. And the 14th item is Asha. And the 15th item is Prana. And the 16th item is Brahma. So Nama, Asha, Prana, and also many other things. And Brahman, the 16th. Now Sanat Kumara says, later item is always considered bigger than the previous one. And in that order, after prana, Brahman has been presented by the Upanishad. And going by the same logic, we say Brahman is greater than prana. And Brahman is absolutely great, and prana is only relatively great. Prana is greater than the previous one, what is given in the 14th section, whereas Brahman is absolutely great. This is the positional difference, the seating arrangement in the 16th section. And after Brahman, none is given also in the Upanishad, so it is the greatest. So it is greater than prana, number one. Number two, it is the greatest because nothing else is told after Brahman. Now let us go to the word analysis. So this sutram contains so many, four words. Bhuma is one word. Samprasadat, another word. Adi, number three. And Upadeshat, four. There are four words. Bhuma, Samprasadat, Adi, and Upadeshat. Bhuma, as I told earlier, means Brahman, the biggest. And it is derived from the root Bahu. Bahu means full. And Bhuma is abstract noun. Fullness itself is called Bhuma. The fullness itself is called Bhuma. Bahutvam is Bhuma. And it is fullness. It occurs where? Because all these are very important. The word occurring in a particular place, namely 7th chapter, 24th section, first mantra. So the word Bhuma occurring in Chandogya Upanishad 7.24.1 is Brahman. And we supply only, is Brahman only, because nothing else is spoken after that. And the next word in this context is Samprasada. Samprasada refers to Pranaha. These are all confusions actually, because Samprasada has several meanings. One meaning is Jiva itself. In that context, you have to derive the word Samprasada as Jiva, who remains resolved in sleep. We have used this earlier also. It's a nominative case then. So samprasaditi. So it is samprasadaha. And the second meaning is sleep itself, a state in which one is very calm, a calm state is also called samprasadaha. And it is derived as what? Samprasidati asyam avastaya. In that avastha. It's the seventh case. So in locative case, sleep state. So the third meaning of samprasada is prana. First is jiva is one meaning. Second is sushupti is another meaning. And third is prana is another meaning. And the first two meanings we will not take here now. We will only take the third meaning. And how can we accept the meaning of prana? In sleep, everything is resolved. Except one thing. And that one thing is prana. If prana is also resolved, what will happen? They will dispose the body off. So the very fact that all the activities are stopped, but prana alone functions in sleep. Prana alone is awake. So that is prana. And the next word is adi. Adi means here after. That is after prana. And then third word is upadeshat. Upadeshat is teaching. The teaching of Brahman takes place after prana in Chandogya Upanishad 7th chapter. So Upadeshat, that teaching takes place, of Brahman takes place after prana in the 7th chapter of Chandogya. In fact, prana is taught in 15th section and Brahman is taught in the 16th section. Why it is so? It is just because Brahman is bigger than prana. And in the last 15 items, Sanat Kumara says the earlier one is smaller and the later one is bigger. And this applies to this mantra alone. Therefore, Bhuma is Brahman alone, bigger than prana. This is how we do analyze the word, all the words of the sutra. And here Shankaracharya introduces a Purvapakshi. He says, no doubt, when we look at the series, starting from Nama to Bhuma, 15th section is prana, 16th is Bhuma. He says, if you study the series, you study one thing. What he says, at the end of every item, the student asks the question, teach me further, what is next bigger thing? Adihi Bhagavo Brahma. So he is telling about, if after each item was disclosed, he is asking again to teach more and more. And Sanat Kumara says, then the second, third and all that. And after prana was disclosed, Narada does not ask any question at all after prana was said. So the Purupakshi now says, so the series is complete with 15th item, namely prana. Anand Kumara still keeps on talking. The Sishya is satisfied with the answer of prana, which was elaborately discussed also. So we know prana is life principle, which is all pervading also. Therefore, with prana, the series is complete, and therefore prana should be the biggest one. And therefore, in the 24th section, whichever bhuma is talked about is prana only. This is the first argument of the Purupakshi. And he gives several arguments. We will see one more argument also. And the second argument of the Purupakshi is, this 15th item is given a special title, as I mentioned then. Pranavadi is called Ativadi. Sarvam Atitya Vartate Iti Ati. It's the biggest thing. So this title is not given to anyone of the earlier things. Nama to all, Asha and all, it is not given to anyone of them. Only for prana it is given. Pranavadi is given Ativadi. Therefore, the series should be complete with prana. Then the next argument he gives also is, after talking about prana in the 15th section, Sanat Kamaraj continues to teach. That's all right. But he talks of sadhanas and all those. He does not talk of Brahman at all, because the word Brahman does not occur in that section. He talks of various sadhanas only, but he does not use the word Brahman anywhere. If you really look at the mantra, it says, Yeshatu va ativadati yaha satyena adivadati saha ativadati. That is what that mantra says. So it talks of satyam. Satyam is truthfulness. Satyam vada. So he talks of satya sadhana only, but he does not talk anything about Brahman at all. Who says? Purupakshi. So we have several more arguments also with which we can establish that bhuma is prana only. Purupakshi vehemently argues. Now the next argument is that in the 24th section of the mantra also, 7th chapter, where bhuma lakshanam is given, it perfectly fits with prana only. He contends that the prana lakshanam and bhuma lakshanam both tally. So while defining bhuma in the 24th section, first mantra of Chandogya, 7th chapter, it is said that in which there is no triputi, no vikalpa, one does not see anything, hear anything, all that is described. I read that mantra. Triputi rahityam is bhuma lakshanam, without triputi. So the Purupakshi argues that this fits in with prana. During the sleep, everything is resolved, except one thing, and that is prana. That one thing is prana, and that is why Sushupti is known by the word prana also. So in Sushupti, prana alone is there, and therefore the word prana and Sushupti are used synonymously, according to Purupakshi. So the definition of Sushupti is Triputi Rahityam. Sushupti and prana, therefore, are identical. And in the 24th mantra, bhuma is triputi rahitam also. And therefore, all the three are one and the same. Hence, bhuma is prana, is equal to sushupti, and therefore nirvikalpaha. This is how he argues. Also, in the 24th section, bhuma is equated to sukham. So Purupakshi says, when do you experience bliss, a continued bliss? In Jagrat Avastha, there is no bliss at all almost. Continued bliss is not there. In Swapna, it comes and goes. But in Sushupti, it is continuous. Throughout the entire Sushupti, you have Sukham. Sushupti is equated to Sukham. So Sushupti is equated to Prana. Prana is equal to Sushupti. Sushupti is Sukham. Therefore, Prana is also Sukham. So in the 24th section also, it is said, Bhuma is Sukham. Therefore, all four words are synonymous. Therefore, Bhuma has got Sukhatvam, Triputi Rahityam, and Prana is also like the same thing. And therefore, both are one and the same. Both are means what? Prana and Bhuma are one and the same. Prana is Bhuma, Bhuma is Prana. So the definition of prana and definition of bhuma, they tally perfectly. The bhuma, so therefore bhuma fits with prana, the biggest one. Prana is biggest one as it pervades all human being. Prana is sarvatma and it is all pervading. And therefore it deserves the name bhuma. Bhuma means, as I told you, it's biggest. This is the next argument of Purvapaksha. Now we have to answer all these arguments. Vedanti has to do it. So we give 5 reasons to negate Purvapakshi. And the first reason is based on Chandogya Mantra 7.1.6, 7th chapter, first section, the 16th mantra. Where the mantra says, Yeshatu va ativadati, yaha satyena ativadati, soham bhagavaha, satyenam ativadaniti, satyam tvevam vijignasitavyam iti, satyam bhagavaha vijignasa iti. Yeshatu va ativadati, in the 15th section in Chandogya Upanishad, the dialogue is over with prana. Ativadati topic was done there. So its title was given with prana in 15th section. And not only that, pranavadi is given a title ativadi, as I mentioned earlier. Unfortunately, Narada was satisfied with this teaching. So he didn't ask anything further. He was about to go away, as it were. And even though Narada was not ready to learn further, the dialogue was not over from Sanat Kumara's angle, the teacher's angle. Sanat Kumara, he revived the teaching. He continues the teaching. When he begins the teaching, he commences with Yesha Tu Va Ativadati. The word Tu is highlighted here. Tu means but. You know, normally we have a saying, the ifs and buts are dangerous words. So here Tu, he uses but. Whenever we use the word but, it reduces the intensity of what he said earlier. But dilutes the previously what was said. So in the 15th section, pranavadi is ativadi was said. And in the 16th section, he shows but. Pranavadi is only a relative ativadi. That's what his intention was, Sanat Kumara's intention. That means prana is not absolutely big, but relatively big. And the following thing only is absolutely big that he is going to say. So Yeshaha in that mantra means the following person. Not only that, the Upanishad uses the expression why. Yesha why? Why means really indeed. So from that we come to know that prana is really big, but the following person whom I am going to tell now is the biggest. And it is one who is Satyavadi. Other one is Ativadi, all right. This is Satyavadi. See, it is a real Ativadi. Satyam means Brahman here, Brahmavadi. Brahmavadi alone is real Ativadi. Pranavadi is relative Ativadi, all right, compared to all the other 14 items mentioned earlier. But Brahma is real, absolute Ativadi. This Satyam Brahma is talked about as Bhuma in the 24th section. So this Bhuma alone is later talked about as Atma in the 26th section also, 7.26.1 of Chandogya. So this is the argument given by Acharya. Then the next argument is, in the beginning, Narada has said, Tarati Shokam Atmavit. This I mentioned earlier also. The knower of Atma crosses sorrow, Tarati Shokam, crosses sorrow. And therefore, Upanishad should talk about Atma alone and not Prana. Then in the 16th, 24th and 26th sections of the 7th chapter again, Atma should be the teaching and not Prana of 15th section. This is the next argument. And the third argument is Prana is Mithya. And Mithya Prana can never be said to be the greatest thing in creation. We have several arguments in support of this. First thing is, up to 15th section, the Upanishad talked about Asha, etc., all those. I told you, starting from Nama, up to so many things, Asha and Prana. And when it wanted to talk about Brahman, it chooses the word Satyam. Very important. Up to law, right from Nama, up to Prana, it used so many other things, but it did not use the word satyam. So nama adi prana antam, right from nama up to prana, the Upanishad used the respective words, but it, when it wants to talk about Brahman, it uses the word satyam, indicating all others are asatyam, means mithya. And then another argument also is, in the 26th section, the Upanishad says, Atma is great and all-pervading. And having talked about Atma, in 26th section, it is said, Tasya hava etasyaivam pasyata evam manvanasyaivam vijanatam atmanaha atmataha prana. So atmanaha pranaha means what? Jadaha, jadam, jadam. So prana is jada. So from Atma, prana is born. The jada vastu, prana, is born from atmanaha prana. Is born. Atma is karanam and prana is only karyam. So atma is the cause, prana is the effect. Karana atma satyaha and karya prana mithya. So in the 15th section, mithya prana is talked about. And in the 16th section, satya atma is talked about. In fact, here it is said that prana is not the ultimate. This is not Brahman. Prana is a manifestation of Brahman, but not Brahman itself. So in order to know Brahman, one must know the truth, satyam. That is to say, one must know the meaning behind the words. So the 24th section talks about satya atma, and it cannot be mithya prana. And that satya atma is Brahman, and Brahman is named as Bhuma here. Hence, Bhuma is the biggest of all, that is proved beyond doubt by Acharya. It can never talk about mithya prana at all. In other Upanishads also, it is very clear that the prana is mithya. In Prashnopanishad we saw, Atmana yesha prano jayate, yatesha purishe chayam, yetasmin yetat atatam, atatam manokrite enam ayatim in shariri. So, asmayati aspin sharire. This prana is born of the Atman. Atmanayesha pranaha jayate. Yataesha purushe chaya, the self, as shadow, chaya, is born of the person. So is the prana spread out on the Atman. Yetaspin yetat atatam. By the actions of the mind, manokritena, it enters into the body. Ayati aspin sharire. In Prashnopanishad, we saw this. So as mithya shadow is born of satya purusha, so is prana is born like as mithya. So prana is mithya, can never be said to be the biggest, greatest thing. And therefore prana is not Bhuma. That is the conclusion. So Purvapakshi said that prana fulfills all the definitions of Bhuma. And Shankaracharya says, no doubt it fits in, but not perfectly. That is Acharya's contention. He said, prana is free from triputi in Sushupti. That is true. But Acharya says, this freedom from triputi is relative freedom. And this is not totally absent, but it is only in dormant condition in Sushupti. It is not totally absent. That's the difference. It is in dormant condition, unmanifest condition. So we don't glorify samadhi very much at all in Vedanta. All the samadhi states and all, we don't glorify as much. Because in samadhi, if a person experiences nirvikalpa, the absence of triputi is temporary only, and it is not permanent. Triputi, rahityam of sushupti, samadhi, samprasad, they are all temporary. But Brahman is permanently nirvikalpa. Therefore, should I go to samadhi for nirvikalpam? That is not real nirvikalpam at all. Vedantins don't accept that. Once you come back, it becomes savikalpam. As long as you are in samadhi, you may be in that avastha. Triputi rakitya mandal may be there. But once you come out of that, it becomes savikalpam. We are not interested in experiencing nirvikalpam. We are interested in the knowledge of nirvikalpam in all the three states, jagrat, swapna, and sushupti. When I am awake, I should experience nirvikalpam. And we want the knowledge of nirvikalpam. We are interested in jagrat and study in jagrat. That is true. We should become nirvikalpam in waking state. That is moksha. That is liberation. That is self-knowledge. So perceiving this is savikalpam, and really I will be in nirvikalpa avastha, nirvikalpa state from paramarthika angle. So for communication, the most important is what? Eye contact. That is very important. Therefore, open the eyes and experience Advaitam, that I am. Not closing the eye and going into some samadhi. Keep the eyes open, experience Advaitam, that I am. Therefore, pranasya triputi rahityam is apekshikam. Bhuma is not prana and it is Brahman only. That is how Acharya establishes it. So Purva Pakshi, now he says prana is equitable to sukham also. So-called sukham, which comes temporarily in Sushupti, can never be real sukham. It is not available in all the three states, Jagrat, Swapna, and Sushupti. Brahman alone is atyantika sukham. And the next argument is, prana is bhuma because it is all-pervading. That's what he says. For that, our answer is, bigness of prana is also apekshikam compared to the more pervading bhuma. Brahman is said to be even more pervading than Akasa itself. How can prana be the biggest? It is big, but it is not the biggest. Brahman has got everything atyantika. Because of these reasons, prana is not bhuma and Brahman alone is bhuma. Now let us go to the second sutra. Dharmopapatyescha. Ninth sutra of third pada, first chapter, 72nd running number for the Bhama Sutra. First, let us do the general analysis. Here Vyasacharya says, when you read other Upanishads, all definitions of Bhuma tally with Brahman or Atman given elsewhere also. They don't fit with prana at all. Whenever there is a vagueness in one statement, this we have seen earlier also, whenever there is vagueness in one statement, you take the clear statement from another Upanishad. For example, Krishna says in the third chapter, 20th mantra, Karmana ivahi samsiddhim astita janakadayaha loka sangrahame vapi sampashyan karma kartumarhasi. Here there is a doubt whether karma will give moksha or one has to gain jnana to gain moksha. Karma is neither the only means nor is the one of the means of moksha. Karma is not the only means for moksha or one of the means of moksha also. Here also, bhuma is sukham. That is the word in 7th chapter, 24th section of Chandogya. And bhuma is a vague word because bhuma can either refer to prana or Brahman also. That was the discussion we just now had. So to resolve the confusion, we go to some other Upanishad. Taittiri Upanishad very clearly says, Anando brahme divya janate, anandadhye vakalvima nibhuta nijayante, anande najata nijivanti, anandam prayante vishambi shantiti. Also, anandatma, all that thing it says. And sukha dharma belongs to Brahman. Brahman alone and not to prana. Similarly, all other attributes also, triputi rahityam, all that things that belong to Brahman only. Yatra tu asya sarvam atmaiva abhut. That is Brihadaranyaka, second chapter, fourth section, 14th mantra. Tat kenakam pashyete, tat kenakam jigrete, tat kenakam shrunyate, tat kenakam vijaniyate, tat kenakam abhivadete, tat kenakam manvita. Tadkhenakam vijaniyat, all that. Only when one discovers Paramatmam, Triputi will be fully negated. Therefore, Paramatma alone is free from Triputi, not Prana or Sushupti. In Prana, in Sushupti, Triputi is not absent. As I told earlier, Triputi is in dormant condition. Therefore, Nirvikalpakatva Dharma. So Brahmanaha Eva. So Sukhatva Dharma, Brahmanaha Eva, not to Prana. Similarly, all pervasiveness also belongs to Brahman only. in the Isavasya Upanishad that we said did long ago. Sapariyaga chukram akayam avranam asnaviram shuddham apapa vidham kabir manishi paribhu panishi paribhuhum swayambhu swayambhuryatam tatyatortan vedadat shashvatibhya samabhyaham. Sapariyagat, the Upanishad uses the term sapariyagat, that Paramatma, Brahman alone is really all-pervading. Bhuma. It is very clearly said in Ishavasya. And Sarvagataha, all-pervasiveness, etc. also, all of them, Brahman alone is said to be. In various other Upanishads also, Yatadadreshyam, Agrahyam, Agotram, Avarnam, Achakshukhu, Shrotram, Tad, Apanipadam, Nityam, Vibhum, Sarvagatam, Sushukmam, Tadavyayam, Yad Bhuta Yonim Paripashyanti Dhiraha. We have seen all these mantras. All pervasiveness belongs to Brahman only. As said in other Upanishads also. And therefore here also the word Brahman refers to, the Bhuma refers to Brahman only and not to Prana. Similarly, Yovai Bhuma Tadaitat Amritam. Amritatvam is another quality of Bhuma, Brahma. This can belong to Brahman alone and not to Prana. Amritatvam, eternity or permanence, belongs to Brahman only and not to Prana. Prana is Martyam. It is not Amritam. Bhuma is Amritam. And the next feature is Sve Mahimni Pratishtitaha Atava Na Mahimni. It is independence. Sve Mahimni is independence here. It is self-reliant, self-sufficient. It is given in the 7th chapter, 12th section of Chandogya also. Sanat Kumara says, Bhuma is not supported by any support. It supports itself. It is independent. Independent belongs to Brahman alone and not to Prana. And the Upanishad says, Prana survives because of something else, which is called Atma or Brahman. Prana can never be self-reliant because Prana is karyam and it has to depend upon karanam. Brahman is cause of everything and hence it is independent. Prana is the effect and so prana is dependent on Brahman. Then Sarvagatattvam is the fifth feature. It is given in the 7th chapter, 25th section, mantra 1 of Chandogya. Bhuma is in front, is behind, in the right, in the left, everywhere. So this Sarvagatattvam, this all-pervasiveness is the feature of Brahman alone and it cannot be feature of Prana. So Sarvagata Bhuma is Brahman alone and not Prana. So the Sarvatmatvam, the 7th chapter, 25th section, 1st mantra of Chandogya, it is the feature of Brahman alone and not of Prana. Hence Bhuma alone is Brahman and not Prana. Sayeva adastat, sa uparishtat, sa paschat, sa purastat, sa dakshinataha, sa uttarataha, sa evedagum sarvamiti. Chandogyam, 7th chapter, 25th section, 1st mantra that I just mentioned. This is the general analysis of the sutra. Now let us go to the word analysis. We have to supply two words here. One is Bhuma and another is Brahma. Bhuma, the word occurring in where? Chandogya Upanishad, 7th chapter, 24th section. That is Brahman only. Dharma upapatyescha, that is the sutra. That itself is a compound word consisting of two words, dharma and upapatyehe. And cha is there, of course. Dharma upapatyehe is compound of two words, dharma and upapatyehe, and there's another word cha. Dharma means here properties. Properties of Bhuma, attributes mentioned in this section or in this chapter. There are so many, we already mentioned so many of them. And upapattehe, because they fit. Upapattehe means because they fit. Since the six dharmas or Bhumas mentioned in here fit in with Brahman only. That's what it means. And the next word is cha. Cha means also. This is to add to the reasons given previously. That's why this also. With this, the Adhikaranam is over. Now let us see the conclusion of this Adhikaranam. And Adhikaranam For conclusion, we should have five factors, as we said many times. First is Vishayaha. Vishayaha means the subject matter. The subject matter is Bhuma. Occurring where? 7th chapter, 24th section, first mantra of Chandogya. And what is the doubt, Samshaya? The controversy is whether it is Prana or Brahma. And the word Bhuma means big one, the biggest. So it is that which that is big. And third, Purvapaksha. Purvapaksha is what? Bhuma is Prana alone. That is his argument. It is because of the dialogue between the Guru and Sishya. Guru and Sishya, who are they? Narada and Sanat Kumara. Sanat Kumara, sorry. Guru and Sishya. Sanat Kumara is Guru and Narada is Sishya. That concluded with Prana in the 15th section. So up to that, each item was said to be bigger than the previous one. So in the gradation, Prana happens to be the last. And the dialogue is over with Prana. Afterwards, Narada did not ask any more questions. So that is Purvapaksha's argument. And the fourth, our Siddhanta, is our conclusion, is that Bhuma is not Prana and it is Brahman only. That is the conclusion of the Siddhanti. So we have presented various reasons in these two sutras to support this. And the dialogue continues without Sishya asking any more questions. The teacher himself keeps on talking. Initially it is called the Satya and then Atma and then called the Bhuma, as the teacher started to explain from 16th section onwards. Therefore, Bhuma is Brahman and definitely not Prana. So with this, this Adhikaranam is over. Now let us go to the next Adhikarana. That is called Aksharadhikarana. So Aksharam Ambaranta Dhritehe. Aksharam Ambaranta Dhritehe. That is the sutra, 10th sutra of the third pada, first chapter. This is 73rd running number of Brahma Sutra. This is the third Adhikaranam. As I told you, each Adhikaranam means a topic. So this is the third topic of the third pada called Aksharadhikarana. Let us see the general analysis of this Adhikaranam that consists of three sutras, and it is named so because the first sutra starts with the word Akshara. Aksharam Ambaranta Dhritehe. Because it starts with the word Aksharam, this is called Aksharadhikarana. Here Vyasacharya analyzes which mantra? A mantra from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, which we have seen this mantra also earlier, the third chapter, 8th section, 8th mantra, 3.8.8 of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Sahovacha etadvaita taksharam gargi brahmana. This is gargi and Yajnavalkya, that section. Gargi brahmana abhivadanti astulam ananvakhraswam adirgam alohitam asneham achayam atamaha avayuhu anakasham asangam achakshushkam ashrotram avak amanaha atejaskam apranam amukham amatram anantaram abahyam natadashnadi kinchana. He lists everything. In this mantra, the word aksharam is occurring and it is analyzed. That's what sahovacha etadvai tadaksharam. And that word is analyzed here. Now we will see the background of this mantra. We have an interesting story in the third chapter of Brihadaranyaka. There is a competition. I think I mentioned earlier also. And many learned people have come to the context. Where is the context done? In Janaka's court. And Janaka wanted to find out who is the best scholar among the assembly of scholars. And he offered to give them 1,000 cows with gold attached to their horns as prize money for the best scholar selected from the assembly. So when all of them were wondering, Yajnavalkya, he enters there and he asked one of his disciples to take away the cows to his ashrama, even before the debate was started. And all the scholars naturally were offended. And they asked Yajnavalkya, do you think that you are the best scholar? And Yajnavalkya was very polite. And he said he took the cows because he needed the cows. He has got a big ashrama, a lot of children and all that. He needed the cows. He took them away. So in each section, one scholar comes and asks the questions to Yajnavalkya to prove that he is the greatest scholar. So among them was one lady. Her name is Gargi. And she was a Brahmavadini. And she asked questions twice. All others asked only question, only one Brahmanam, but she asked twice. In the sixth Brahmanam also she comes and asks about Aksharam Brahma. And again she appears in the eighth Brahmanam also, the third chapter, second mantra. And she even wants Yajnavalkya. She says, you think just like that you can get away from here. To avoid confusion, so this Brahmanam is called Akshara Brahmanam because she comes in two Brahmanams. So one Brahmanam is called Akshara Brahmanam. Okay. And she is asking, Yata Kashyova Vaidehova Ugraputraha Ujjyam Danu Radijyam Kritva Dau Banavantau Sapatnav Haste Kritva Upodastham. She is warning, a powerful archer comes in front with two powerful arrows. Like that, I have come in front of you with two powerful arrows, the questions. Oh, Yajnavalkya, be ready. she is now warning him. And Yajnavalkya, as usual, he was very calm and cool. And he says, Pritcha Gargi, okay, ask whatever you want to ask. Then she asked, the entire cosmos is supported by what? That was the first question. The entire cosmos is supported by what? It's the first question. Saho vacha, sa means here, Gargi, she asked. Yadurdvam Yajnavalkya divaha, yad vak prithivyaha, yad antara dhyava prithivi ime, yad bhutancha vavacha vavishyacha, ityachakshatem, kasmin stat votancha protancha. We have seen all these mantras during our discussions earlier. That's why I'm just only reading the mantras and leaving. What is that substratum upon which the whole cosmos is based? And Yajnavalkya answers, Akashe. Akashaha supports space, supports the whole thing. And here the word Akasha has a special name. Here Akasha is not one of the five elements. Space is not one of the five elements here because space is included in the cosmos. Therefore, the question is what? What is the support of cosmos which includes space also? So this is not the element, bhutam. We are not thinking about the panchabhuta space. Here this is, because panchabhuta space is also part of that. So the cosmos is part of the cosmos. So what is supporting the cosmos, including the space? Therefore the word akasa here means avyakrita akashaha, the ultimate karana, which is known as avyaktam, avyakritam, maya. All these things are synonymous. Therefore, the whole world is supported by what? The basic matter, namely avyakrita akashaha, etc. Then Gargi says, you are great. Correct answer you gave. Saho vacham namaste stu Yajnavalkya. She does namaskaram to him. Yoma yetam vyavachaha aparasmaim dharayasva iti. Then she says, be ready for the next question. Yajnavalkya again says very coolly, Pritcha Gargi, ask again. Then she asks, Kasmangas tat akashaha potancha protancha. What is that on which akasa itself is based? What is the substratum of avyakrita akasha? So what are the two questions now? What is the substratum of world? And the answer is avyakrita akashaha maya. And the second question is, what is the supporter of avyakrita akasha maya? And to that question, Yajnavalkya answers, which is the mantra we are seeing now. Saho vacha, Yajnavalkya answers, yetadvai tad aksharam gargi brahmana abhivadanti. The substratum of maya, I did not know myself, because these are all apaurusheya vishayaha. One cannot know by one's buddhi. And therefore, I got it from my guru. He doesn't claim any knowledge himself. He says he got it from his guru. Who got it from his guru? Therefore, brahmanaha, brahmavidaha, abhivadanti. And what is that called? Aksharam. So aksharam is the substratum of the akasha, which akasha is the substratum of the entire cosmos. So hereafter, when I use the word akasha, you should remember I use the word akasha not in the sense of space, but as avyakritam. And that aksharam had been defined later as what? Astulam, ananu, agarasvam, akhrasvam, adirgam, alohitam, asneham, achayam, atamaha, all that thing we read already. It does not have length, width, surround, sound, smell, taste, touch. It doesn't have any other. In short, it is nirgunam. This is the mantra, third chapter, eighth section, eighth mantra, Brihadaranyaka, which is the Vishaya Vakyam subject matter for this sutra. So to put it in our understandable language, instead of saying all these big things, nirgunam Brahma supports Maya, and Maya supports the creation. That is all the substance. Nirgunam Brahma supports Maya, and Maya supports the entire creation. Okay. Why is there a controversy in this mantra? That is all we are interested, because we are learning, studying now Brahma Sutra, not Brihadaranyaka. So why there is a controversy in this mantra? What is the problem? And why this mantra should be included in Brahma Sutra also? It is required to be included in Brahma Sutra because the Upanishad has not used the word Brahman to say Astulam, Ananu, Adirgam and all that. It did not use the word Brahman. If the Upanishad had used the word Brahman, there would have been no issue. But instead of using the word Brahma, the Upanishad has used the word Aksharam. And word Aksharam is a vague word, which has got so many meanings. If you take it literally, it means what? It is imperishable. Imperishable is Akshara. And the most popular meaning is what? Of Aksharam is a letter. Akshara, Aksharamala, alphabets is Aksharamala, Varnaha. Therefore, the debate is whether the word Aksharam refers to a letter, alphabet, or to Brahma, etc. So many other meanings. And the Purvapakshi says it refers to Varnaha, the letters, the alphabet, because he blindly applies the rule. What is the rule he applies? Popular meaning only has importance always. This rule we have seen earlier also. Popular meaning only has importance always. Rudyarthaha. Therefore, always apply the popular meaning. That is why popular meaning is called primary meaning also. Rudi Arthaha. And we know Rudi means, so Rudi is Baliyasi. It's most powerful. Therefore, Aksharam should be Varnaha, the letters of the alphabet only. And this doubt may come, and therefore this Adhikaranam is there. So that is the reason this Adhikaranam is kept there. And through this Adhikaranam, what are we going to establish? Aksharam is Brahman only and not letters. It is not Varna. Varna is letters. It is not only Brahman. We are going to establish this is the general picture of the entire Adhikaranam. It is only Brahman only is what we are going to establish. Now we will see the general analysis of the first sutra of this Adhikaranam. Here Vyasacharya says, Aksharam is only Brahman. And because Aksharam is supposed to be the support of everything up to Maya, up to Akasha. And therefore, the universal support has got to be Brahman only. So a Varnaha, an alphabetic letter, cannot be the support of the entire universe. Whereas in the mantra, it is said Aksharam supports what? Adurdvam Yajnavalkya Divaha Yate Vak Prithivyaha. Not only supports the whole cosmos, it supports the Akasha also. Therefore, Akasha Sahita Samasta Prapanchasya Adharatvate Aksharam Brahmaiva. Because it supports, including Akasha, the entire Prapancham, because of that, Aksharam should be Brahman. This is the general analysis of the sutra. Now we'll go to the word analysis. We have to supply one word here, Brahma, to complete the sutra. So then how will we, if we supply that word, how will we read the sutra now? Aksharam Brahmam Ambaranta Dhritehe. That is how we will read it. So totally there are three words. We will take one by one. And the first word is Aksharam. Aksharam means the word Aksharam occurring in where? Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, third chapter, eighth section, eighth mantra. That is the meaning of the word Akshara. So we have to add the word Brahma here. That means what? Aksharam is Brahman alone and not an alphabetic letter. Then the third word is Ambaranta Dhritehe. It is a compound word having three words, Ambara, Anta, Dhritehe. Ambaram means Akasha, Chidambaram. So it's Akasha, Ambaram means Akasha. And Anta means everything up to. And everything up to. And Dhritehe means because of the sustenance, the support, the holding. Dhritehe is actually fifth case. Therefore, because of sustenance, Ketva. So what is the final meaning of all the three words together now? Because of the sustenance of everything up to Akasha. Therefore, Aksharam is Brahman. Because of its sustenance of everything up to Akasha, where Akasha is not space, but Avyakrita Akasha or Maya. Therefore, only Brahman can sustain everything up to Akasha, an alphabetic letter cannot support. And now Shankaracharya, after this is fine. Now Shankaracharya brings a Purvapaksha. What is the Purvapaksha says? He says, I know an alphabetic letter cannot sustain the universe. Don't think I'm a dumb guy. I know definitely. But what I say is, even though a normal regular letter will not support, in the Veda, there is a special letter which is glorified so much. And what is that letter? Lord Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 18, Omityekaksharam Brahma Vyaharan Mamanusmaran Yeprayatitayantyajan Deham Sayati Paramamgatim. There is an Aksharam called Om. Therefore, in this context, Aksharam can be called Omkara Rupa Aksharam. And what I say is, what I mean, Sarpurupashi, what I say is, Omkara Rupa Aksharam is Sarva Adharaha. It's Adharam for everything. And if you are not convinced, I will give you the Shruti support also. I will also quote Upanishads for you. In Chandogya Upanishad, second chapter, 23rd section, the third mantra says, Sarvam Omkara Evedagum Sarvam. All these are Omkara only. In Taittiriya Upanishad also, Sikshavalli, Omiti Brahma. Omiti idagam sarvam. Omiti idagam sarvam. Omkara alone is everything. And in Mandukya also, first mantra. Omiti edadaksharam idagam sarvam tasya upavyakyanam bhutam bhavad bhavishyaditi sarvam omkara eva. So omkara is everything. Sarvam omkara eva. Belonging to the past, the present and the future. For all of them. So whatever is beyond kala, time, that is also Omkara only. Therefore, Aksharam is Omkara. And therefore, Aksharam is not Brahman. Therefore, what is Purvapakshi now? The word Aksharam occurring in 3rd chapter, 8th section, 8th mantra of Chandogya is Omkara alone and not Brahman. And the Omkara has the capacity to Ambaranta Dhritihi. It can support everything up to Akasha. And Shankaracharya gives his answer in his Bhashyam. The answer is what? Even Omkara Aksharam cannot be Sarva Adharaha. Maximum you can claim is that what? Omkara is Adhara of the words, Padas. And it can never be claimed as Sarva Padartha Adhara. Why? Omkara is itself is a sound produced, which is subject to beginning and end. Omkara is a shabda, which is a property of what? Space. Omkara is a property of the space. When Akasha itself is subject to beginning and end, what to talk of Omkara, which is only a property of space. Therefore, Anitya Omkara cannot be taken as Sarva Adhara. If it is taken as supporter of everything, then it cannot be supporter of Akasha because it is a property of Akasha. Akasha supports Omkara and therefore Omkara Shabda can never be support of Akasha at all. Therefore, what is the contention? Omkara cannot be Sarva Adharaha. This is the logic. It is Yukti Virodaha. It is also anubhava virodha. It is against all experiences because no word can support the creation. It is against our anubhava and yukti. Then Purva Paksha asked the next question. I'll take only a couple of more minutes. He asked the next question. How do you explain all the Omkara mantras and Shruti Veda statement? There are so many mantras glorifying Omkara in the Shruti. Then Shankaracharya argues, even Shruti Vakyas cannot be accepted. My God, what a bombshell. Even Shruti Vakyas cannot be accepted if it is against Anubhava and Yukti. We don't accept Shruti blindly. We respect Shruti. We will accept only those Shruti statements which do not violate logic and Anubhava. Therefore, even if Shruti says Omkara is Sarvadhara, we won't accept. It seems one of the Acharyas said, even if 1,000 Shruti Vakyas say that fire is cold, we are not going to accept it because it is Anubhava Virodha. Does that mean we reject Shruti Vakyam? No, we won't. There comes our Shraddha. Okay, what will you do then? We will interpret the Shruti Vakya. And what is the interpretation if you ask? Whenever Shruti Vakyam says Omkara Padam is Sarva Adharam, we have to interpret it as Omkara Padam is not Sarva Adharam, but Omkara Pada Artha is Sarva Adharam. Meaning of the word Omkara is Sarva Adharam. We will only interpret it correctly. And what is the meaning of Omkara? It is Paramatma. Paramatma Brahman. Therefore, Omkara is not a letter. Omkara is equal to Sarvadhara, which is equal to Brahman. Revealed by Omkara is Sarvadhara. Omkara Pratikam Brahma. Omkara Vachyam Brahma. Omkara Lakshyam Brahma is Sarvadhara. And therefore, Omkara is never the Sarvadhara as a letter. Therefore, Aksharam is not Omkara and Aksharam is Brahman only. Then Shankaracharya gives further argument also, and he says, when primary meaning does not fit into the context, we have to take the derived meaning also, secondary meanings. All these arguments we know. The derived meaning of aksharam is what? We should take, that is called yogika artha. So primary meaning is called mukhya artha and rudi artha. And when rudi artha fails, we go to yogika artha of the word aksharam. The rudi artha of aksharam is alphabetic letter, common, popular meaning. We will reject it. We will now take it, the derived meaning, and Shankaracharya gives two derivations. First derivation is from the root, kshar. Kshar means to perish, to die, to disappear. Na ksharati iti akshara. That which is eternal, that doesn't decay. And what is eternal? Brahman alone and no alphabetic letter is eternal. Therefore, what is the conclusion? Aksharam is equal to Naksharati iti aksharam is eternal reality. It is Brahman only. And the second derivation is, it is derived from the root ash, ashnute, vyapnoti iti aksharam. Ash means to pervade. The all-pervasiveness, all-pervading one is aksharam. Can Omkara be all-pervading? It cannot. Only Brahman is all-pervading. So the eternal, all-pervading Brahman is indicated by the word aksharam in this mantra. So by Yajnavalkya, in Brihadaranyaka, 3rd chapter, 8th section, 8th mantra, and that eternal, all-pervading Brahman alone can be the adhara of everything up to akasha. These are all answers to what? Yajnavalkya's answer to Karki. With this, the first sutra is over. Now we will enter in the second sutra in the next class. Yo veda dau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakritilinasya parasmaheshwarah atmanasti purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva avashishyate om shanti shanti shantihi shri gurubhyo namaha harihi om shri krishna arpanasti